Grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is truly our good shepherd. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is our text. Your fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once it was the custom in literature for authors not to think up new tales for their prose and their poetry, or new comic situations for the sitcoms of their day. Rather, the success of an author was in retelling stock stories in a new, unique way, or to put a different twist on a well-known tale. You will find out that this is much the challenge you will confront over and over again in the ministry. Because even in good pericopal preaching, the same or similar text repeats itself with great frequency. In addition to that, the law gospel message simply doesn't change. One such challenge is the biblical imagery of Jesus as our good shepherd, and believers as his sheep and his lambs. This, no doubt, is one of the most beautiful and one of the most beloved pictures in all of Holy Scripture. I doubt if there's ever been anyone on a sickbed who has not been touched by the 23rd Psalm. In a world when we almost daily see pictures of people who are displaced by war, the refugees in Kosovo and the area, or read about the collateral damage, a nice euphemism for people accidentally killed in the line of battle, or when we hear more and more about school violence, we all take comfort in knowing that we have a heavenly shepherd, a divine shepherd watching over us day in and day out. The imagery of Jesus as the good shepherd is very straightforward, uncomplicated imagery that everyone, even little children, can understand and be touched by. And I suppose that the good shepherd text, or text that most preachers like to preach on. The only problem is, after a while, what do you say you haven't said before? Or what do you say that your people haven't heard before? When we talk about Jesus being the Good Shepherd, we usually speak about his leading, nurturing, pastoring his sheep, about his protecting them from harm and danger, or finding those again who have strayed from the flock. Or we may talk about the sheep, how dumb, helpless, and defenseless they are, and tie in this as a condition which is the result of sin. Or we can talk about the differences between the true shepherd and the hireling, or between the true shepherd and the false one. But seldom, if ever, do we talk about how the good shepherd comes in possession of his sheep in the first place. And how can we talk about the relationship in medias res if we don't understand how the relationship began first of all? How did Jesus become our good shepherd? Or how did we become the sheep of this good shepherd, Jesus Christ? One answer today is decision theology. Man makes up his own mind. Man decides when he is going to go to God, when he's going to turn to Christ. Sometimes this may be toned down a little bit with a little bit of semi-Pelagianism. Allow God on occasion to take the first move, but it always ends up being a cooperative effort, so that man has some part in it. Then again, today we hear more and more about the seekers, the people who show up in church on some kind of spiritual or maybe nothing more than a social quest. They're looking for something missing in their life and just figure they might find it in the church. And if the church gives them the right toned down, no stumbling block worship or message, they might just choose that church and its God. Some years ago, a well-known rabbi by the name of Abram Joshua Heschel wrote a book with the title, God in Search of Man. And in this book, he says, most theories of religion start out with defining the religious situation as man's search for God, and maintain the axiom that God is silent, hidden, and unconcerned with man's search for him. Then he goes on to say, in biblical thinking, that axiom is false. The Bible speaks not only of man's search for God, but also of God's search for man. And then he quotes Job 10:16, where Job says, thou dost hunt me like a lion. And Heschel goes on to say, this is the mysterious paradox of biblical faith. God is pursuing man. All of human history as described in the Bible may be summarized in one phrase, God is in search of man. We may not agree with everything that Rabbi Heschel says, but he's certainly gotten that point right. God in search of man is exactly how you and I became part of God's flock, how we entered into his sheep pen. It was by his searching for and finding us, not the other way around. And this is the way it has always been. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, we are told that it was God who called out to Adam in the garden, where are you? Not the other way around, that Adam went searching for God. Or it was God who found Abram in Ur of the Chaldees and chose him to be the father of his special people. It was God who found Moses in Midian and called him to be the great liberator of Israel from Egypt. And we know it was God, Christ, who found the disciples. It was Christ who found Paul on the road to Damascus and turned him into his greatest apostle. It is always God who finds, who searches out and finds. And so it is God who has found us also, without any merit or worthiness on our part. He found us in all our sinfulness, out of his love and desire to give us eternal salvation. And out of that flock, he found us to be ministers in his kingdom. God found us for this ministry. We didn't find it ourselves. We weren't looking for it. But God found us for the task, not to give us a privilege, but to make us a servant. You won't find any people for your church throughout your ministry, but God will find them through the word that you proclaim. That's how it works. This is indeed the mysterious paradox of the biblical faith, and that is the mysterious paradox of our ministry as well. We never find God. God always finds us. He was in search of us. And that's how he became our shepherd. And that's why we are his sheep. No merit on our part, all credit to the love of God. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.